Welcome to the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Morgan Anderson, psychologist, relationship coach, attachment theory expert, creator of the ESL relationship method, author of Love Magnet, and athletic wear connoisseur. My mission is to help you raise your self-worth, have great relationships, and step confidently into the next level of your life. Each week, two episodes will air featuring expert advice, live coaching, and tips showing you exactly how to improve your life and attract a healthy relationship. You deserve to feel empowered, secure, and loved. Buckle up and let's get vulnerable. Okay, you're not going to believe this. I have a really juicy update for you. I am hosting a live in-person workshop in La Jolla, California. It is called Become the One, Securely Attached Secrets for Attracting Your Dream Partner. This is happening March 23rd. It's a Saturday. It's from 10 a.m. to noon, 2 hours long. I'm going to give you an experiential process. So you're not just going to sit there and take notes. You're going to actually be going through an experience that'll help you become securely attached, release your past relationships, and really step into that version of you who is attracting emotionally available dream partnerships. And this is for you if maybe you've thought about working with me, or you've just kind of been on the fence about, I don't know what to do, what should my next step be? And you want something really powerful and fun that's in person. This is just going to be amazing. So make sure you grab your spot. We have super limited spots, and I want to make this accessible to anyone who can attend. The investment is just $97. And then if you want to bring a friend, it's just $149. So a no-brainer. Show up. I would love to give you a big hug in person. And this is for people who have not been in the Empowered Secure Love program. I am hosting a retreat around that same time for my program clients. And I have one spot left for that. But this is the only time, this workshop is the only time I've done an in-person event for someone who is not a client. So I would act on this if you're like, I really want to meet Dr. Morgan. I want to work with her in person. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. So go use the link in the show notes, grab your spot, and I'll see you in person March 23rd. I can't wait. We're going to have so many breakthroughs, and it'll be amazing to be in person with you. So excited. Welcome to the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. It's your host, Dr. Morgan. In today's episode, we are doing part two of a three-part series where we're looking at Love is Blind, season six, from an attachment style perspective. Today, we're going to be looking at all the couples that I haven't talked about yet. So Amy and Johnny, Kenneth and Brittany, AD and Clay, and we may be able to get to Sarah Ann and Jeremy and Laura. I don't know. That probably needs its own episode, but we will get to a lot of the couples I haven't talked about yet, as well as I have to go back to Chelsea and Jimmy. I just have to. There's been more episodes I've watched and more things we need to talk about. So this is going to be jam-packed with attachment theory analysis of Love is Blind. Let's get into it. Y'all ready for this? I'm excited. I want to start with Kenneth and Brittany, actually. And this couple was so solid in the pods. Those of you that have watched this, you know this. And if you haven't, the pods are in that dating stage when they don't see each other, but they're talking through a wall. This couple really did a great job of showing us what open, honest, direct communication looked like. And they were both really honest about their values. They're both faith-based. They're both Christian, identify as Christian. And that was really clear in how they spoke to one another. And I thought it was great that they were really upfront about who they were as people. And they felt that compatibility in the pods. Then
when we saw them get into real life, I thought this was fascinating. There's a lot of different dynamics going on. And from my perspective, Brittany continued to show up secure. She's open, honest, direct, really open to connection. She's valuing her partner. I got the sense that she was really there and she was really invested. And there's conversations about race that came up and she was really open for those conversations. Brittany was there. She's present. Now, when it came to Kenneth, this was fascinating. I think there was a lot of talk. There was a lot of him speaking about ways that he wanted to be. And I don't think we saw it backed up with actions. What I noticed from Kenneth, and this is Brittany noticed this, she called this out, he wasn't as present. He was on his phone a lot. She'd be trying to have a conversation with him. He's on his phone. The Brittany mentioned that there wasn't that physical intimacy, right? That he wasn't outwardly showing her affection and giving her reassurance from a physical perspective. And then this was kind of their breaking point. We see the scene where he was out till 1:30 in the morning and she's kind of left at home and didn't really know what was going on. Although he said, you know, I texted you, I was at the barber shop and then I was doing XYZ. So he was getting really defensive instead of acknowledging Brittany saying, hey, you're supposed to be my husband. I feel disconnected from you. And on top of that, you know, you're out till 1:30 in the morning. And then by the way, he woke her up when he got home. Ooh, if that was me, y'all, I need my sleep. If somebody wakes me up in the middle of the night because they wanted to say goodnight. No, your opportunity to say goodnight was at 9 p.m. when I was getting into bed. And other than that, your girl needs her sleep. Okay. So honestly, I thought Brittany kept it really cool. I probably would have lost it a bit. And this is really sad to me, this couple. They seem like they had so much potential. And at the end of the day, I have two theories about this. Either number one, Kenneth actually has some unhealed avoidant attachment strategies where he's not able to really be present and really let love in and really accept it. Intimacy is hard for him. So he has these different strategies that he's using to pull away from Brittany. That's one theory. Okay. The other theory is for whatever reason, and I don't know why, but for whatever reason, he did not feel compatible with Brittany. And instead of having that direct conversation with her, he sabotaged the relationship by not being present and not being tuned in. And the fascinating part was just even in their breakup, it seemed as though he's saying he still wanted to make it work, but his actions and the way he was being did not match up with that. So I really feel for Brittany in this scenario. I think that was a confusing relationship. I read somewhere online that she said that she ended up feeling as though that he was simply there for fame and that he wasn't really there ready for a relationship. So that was an interesting couple with a ton of potential that completely fizzled out once they were in the real world. Okay. The next couple, and by the way, if you're watching Love is Blind, shoot me a DM on Instagram. I want to hear from you. I want to know what your take is. Do you agree with me? You disagree? Do you have things I haven't talked about you want me to talk about? Shoot me a message on Instagram at Dr. Morgan Coaching on IG. I want to connect with you on this. I'll be in my DMs ready to do a deep dive on all things Love is Blind. So the next couple I want to talk about is Amy and Johnny. Do we love them? I love them. I think they're fascinating because they have been able to build secure attachment. They're one of the only couples where we see a really solid, secure attachment. And kudos to both of them. I think they both have the capacity to show up with vulnerability, to be authentic, to express what it is that they really want and the things that are really important to them. And I think particularly Johnny, he's being really honest about how big a deal it is for him that they practice safe sex. And Amy could be getting really, really worked up about this. If she had anxious attachment or avoidant attachment, she could run with that real strong need of his, which we can get into maybe why that is, but she could use that as a way to say, oh, he doesn't really like me. If he really liked me, he'd be willing to go get that vasectomy, or he'd be willing to just use a condom, right? Like, let's be honest, if she wanted to, she could end up making up a story about that need that he has. And instead, what we see is they as a couple beautifully work through this conversation. And obviously, I'm really excited about the finale. It's coming, and we're going to see if they both say yes. But from what I've seen through all 9 episodes is they get to this point where they've agreed that one of them will get on birth control, whether it is a vasectomy or whether Amy starts taking birth control of some sort. And it seems like that's really the thing that they had to agree on to create that security, secure attachment where they both can emotionally invest in the partnership. And another thing that I saw, and so here's what's so cool about Amy and Johnny, is we see a lot of their conversations are more about compatibility. Instead of when we don't have secure attachment, the conversations are about building the relationship. They're about, well, I don't know if you really want me. I don't feel like you chose me. I feel abandoned by you. Hello, Chelsea and Jimmy. All the conversations are about trying to build a secure connection, okay? But with Amy and Johnny, they have that secure attachment, and the conversations are about birth control, when you want to have kids. This is compatibility. And the other one that was fascinating was lifestyle. Johnny wants to retire early, and he wants to be as frugal as possible so that he can retire early. Whereas Amy has a little bit more beliefs about, hey, you only get one life. You need to enjoy. You need to have experiences. Spend money on things to make you happy, right? So they openly talk about those differences and talk about meeting each other in the middle. Those are the kinds of juicy, fun compatibility conversations you get to have when you have that foundation of secure attachment. So I love Amy and Johnny as an example of what does it look like to build secure attachment, to date from this place of, you know, alignment, compatibility, lifestyle, how are we on those things? And we're going to see. But my prediction, and I haven't watched the finale because it's not out yet, but my prediction is that they will get married, and they should have a really happy, healthy relationship. So cheers to them. All right. The next couple I need to talk about is AD and Clay. Ooh, I so relate to this relationship dynamic. I feel like this was a lot of my relationships in the past. How many of you relate to this where you are this boss babe, which AD is, she's done everything, high achieving, just wonderful person, great relationships in all areas of her life, yet girl keeps attracting people that she has to heal in some way, she has to help them in some way, She is their therapist or their career coach, right? And she is fixing them. And I think in one of the interviews at some point, she said, in my past, I would see red flags and I would just paint my nails red to match. How many of you relate to that, right? Of like, there's these red flags, but I'm going for it. There's something pulling me. It's magnetic. I can't even stop it. It's a compulsion. And when you experience this, this is where you're taking your unfinished business from your past relationships and you are reenacting it into your adult romantic life. And there's this unconscious wish that this time you would get a different result. And this time you could be good enough. You could heal the person enough. You could get them to choose you fully, right? And this pattern will go on and on and on until you do internal healing work, right? Until you get to a place where, hey, I'm moving myself to secure attachment. I can choose better. And the other way this pattern can break, which is what we're seeing with Clay here, the other way the pattern can break is you have someone who has enough awareness, who is building enough secure attachment with you, that they are willing to work on themselves and they change, not you change them. They change and they do build a secure relationship with you. Now, I'm going to be honest, that's rare. Is Clay rare enough, is what I was going to say, that he is going to work on himself enough so that he can choose this fantastic, emotionally available, wonderful, drop-dead gorgeous woman? Is he going to work on himself enough to get himself to the place to accept the love from her and say, I'm deserving of this and I'm emotionally available and I want to also give to you? Is he going to get there? We don't know. That is the question that will be answered in the finale. And how many of you just relate to that dynamic? I'm sending you so much love. If you do, obviously this is what I help people work on when you get into the Empowered, Secure, Loved program. The goal is that you are able to heal enough to become securely attached so that you are attracting partners that are ready to love you, not partners that you have to make them love you. You have to be good enough. You have to try really hard, right? Or play games or pull away and then get back. No, partners who are ready to invest in you and ready to build a really healthy, beautiful romantic relationship with you. So if you are saying, hey, I want to get to that place where that's the kind of relationship I'm building, where it's no longer build a boyfriend, okay? They are coming fully assembled and ready to love you. If you're ready to be at that place, make sure you apply to the Empowered, Secure, Loved program. We have really limited spots in March, and this is such an incredible time to do the work on yourself. Right now, I am going to give you as a bonus the Boundaries audio course because so many of you have loved it. So when you join this month, you do get the Boundaries audio course as well. But anyways, I just want you to know, if you're stuck in that similar pattern, like you see AD and Clay, there is a way out. You can change. You absolutely can. It starts with you taking action. So don't wait. Use the link in the show notes. Apply to the program today. Let's continue with AD and Clay. So how many of you, you watch that scene where they are with AD's mom? I don't know why that scene was so hard for me. I think I had my own transference of like realizing, for me, it was like, wow, you know, I don't have my mom. And I know a lot of you can relate to this, where you don't have your dad or you don't have that person. And I do, I'm so lucky. I have my incredible Aunt Peggy who raised me, and she basically would be that figure for me. But just to see how fiercely AD's mom loves her and shows up for her and honors her truth, that was such a beautiful relationship. So I think for probably a lot of us who saw that, there's almost like this grieving of wishing that we had that relationship with our moms, right? And kind of realizing that when we don't have that from a mother figure, we have to learn how to show up that way for ourselves, of knowing how to assert our value and honor our worthiness and to make decisions that feel good to us and be our own hype women. Some of us have to learn how to really do that well for ourselves. And at the same time, we can grieve that we don't have that mother relationship. So that was part of what came up for me. And then I'm watching them. They're there and Clay shows up and they got really vulnerable. This was like a therapy appointment. Clay is talking about, he goes all into this narrative, which I want to talk about, where he's like, well, my dad cheated, so I'm going to cheat. That's the root, right? His belief is, my dad cheated, so I'm going to cheat. And this is a fascinating topic. Here's the reality. When you witness a parent who is unfaithful, you are more likely to internalize that as a relationship model. And even if it happens unconsciously, you may find yourself in a scenario where you're cheating on a partner because of this pattern. It's the template. Maybe the template was, oh, when things get hard or I don't get my needs met, then I can go have a relationship somewhere else and get those needs met elsewhere. Maybe that's the model, right? So you can unconsciously internalize that. And does it make it more likely that you would engage in that behavior? Yes. However, this is a big, important however. If you do the work on yourself, if you realize and you have awareness of, wow, this is what my parent did, this is what I do not want to do. If you realize that, then you can do the work and you can break the pattern. You can absolutely break the pattern. You can decide to be different. Clay, the energy that I get from Clay, this is classic avoidant attachment here. Okay. So I believe that Clay is probably about 40 to 50% secure and then either 50 to 60% avoidant. That's kind of where I see him at. He's got this secure side where he is loving and showing up and expressing himself well. He has these beautiful moments where he can show up really vulnerably and he expresses himself and he talks about building with AD and building a healthy relationship. So he's got these secure parts of him, but then he has this avoidant, attached, wounded child self. And that part of him says, it is not safe for me to rely on a partner. It is not safe for me to fully give myself to a relationship. I am not good enough. I will let my partner down. I cannot be the type of partner that AD deserves, right? How many of you saw this? This was so clear with him. I loved it. He was being really vulnerable. It's showing like inside the avoidantly attached person's brain. He's saying, I believe there are scenes where he's directly saying to AD, I don't know if I can be the kind of man you deserve. And he referred to watching past seasons and seeing other couples and other people, which, by the way, I had my guesses on who he was referring to, because there was a phenomenal couple from last season. But anyways, I don't want to go on a tangent. Anyways, he's like, I'm seeing these people from past seasons and I can't be that for you. And he's making it like, it's not you, it's me. How many of you have had those breakups where they go, hey, you're incredible. It's me. I can't get my shit together. It is so avoidantly attached. It really is. And it's this way of saying, I'm terrified. I think I'm going to fuck it up. I'm going to be a bad partner to you. I struggle with dealing with emotions, with dealing with conflict, right? That scares me. So instead of saying, hey, I take ownership, I acknowledge I'm not perfect, there's things I'm going to work on with you. Instead of saying that, you say, hey, I'm not going to be good enough for you. So let me just pull away. And I don't know if I'm the right person for you. It's fascinating. And here's the thing. I don't want to make it seem like it's this easy, conscious decision. It's not. It's not as if Clay is consciously making these decisions. This is a compulsion. This is his unconscious brain, his unhealed beliefs about relationships, his attachment style. And all of it is, it's out of survival. It's out of protection. He doesn't want to get hurt. He doesn't want to hurt AD. And this is what his brain is telling him to do. If I could meet with him, I would help him realize that those coping skills of pulling away, of being more removed, of not being able to be vulnerable or receive love or really show up and give to someone, of not being able to do all those things, that those were simply coping skills, ways of being that served him at one point of his life, and they're no longer serving him. And I would really want to help him change the relationship with himself. Because what I also see, how many of y'all notice this? Like classic avoidant attachment here. He's working nonstop. He's got this multiple businesses going on. I think he's renting jet skis on the side. He's also got Airbnb and he's got real estate, whatever. So he's got all these projects going on and he's busying himself, being productive, making more money. And that's so easy for the avoidantly attached person to do because they go, well, I put more energy into something and I know for sure I'm going to get more results, right? More energy in equals more results. So it's a clear equation, whereas relationships don't always work that way. And the avoidantly attached person feels good in their work and good in business. Or, hey, I talk to doctors, lawyers, all kinds of people where it's like, I'm really good at what I do. So it's so much easier to throw yourself into your job because you're also getting some validation. You're getting some needs met that way. And then you use it as an avoidance mechanism, almost a defense mechanism, so that you don't have as much energy to show up in the relationship, which is what AD is complaining about. Of saying, hey, I want you here at night. I know you're working all day. I know you're super busy. I want to connect with you, which I do not think that she is asking too much. I think that from what I can tell, that there's this little wall, or maybe even a big wall at times, that is slowly getting built on Clay's end. And this will be fascinating to see if he breaks through it enough to say yes on the wedding day. And I applaud AD. She made it really clear if she's sticking to this process and the timeline. And if he does not say yes on wedding day, she's not going to continue to date him, right? So there really is, there's a lot on the line. And I think even if he does say yes, this is a couple that needs a lot of work to get to secure attachment. And AD is not perfect. Let's be clear. She's not perfect either. She probably has a little bit of avoidant attachment and anxious. I mean, she has some of those strategies herself that I think are getting triggered by Clay. But for the most part, I think the real block right now in them growing as a couple is the avoidant attachment from Clay. 100%. And this guy, as if I know him, Clay, he needs to realize his past does not determine his present or his future. He gets to decide what kind of relationship does he want to have. And in that decision, he is required then to rewire beliefs and to learn how to show up with a secure attachment style, a regulated nervous system, and the capacity to emotionally invest. So what a fascinating season this is. There's a lot of really great dynamics, and I especially love it because I see so much of what I see in my clients getting played out in these couples. So if you relate to any of this, once again, don't wait. Please make sure you do the work on you, rewire your brain for secure attachment so that then you can go into your dating life and you can easily attract the relationship you've always wanted. When you keep showing up without doing the work on yourself, it's like doing the same thing over and over and over, and you're expecting different results, right? That's insanity. You want to make sure that you're working on you first. So I encourage you, take the step, apply to the program today. I would be so honored to have you inside of the program and our incredible community with all the amazing coaches and A to Z, step-by-step, everything you need to become that securely attached version of you. So use the link in the show notes to apply. Before I let you go, I do just want to mention Jimmy and Chelsea. My goodness, how many of you watching this have felt triggered? I know I have, as I'm seeing it play out. In Chelsea, I can see parts of my past. Having disorganized attachment would mean I would pendulum swing from avoidant to anxious at any given moment. And when I was anxious, I was really anxious. When I was avoidant, I was really avoidant. So seeing some of Chelsea's behaviors is just such a flashback for me of being in that highly, highly anxiously attached place. And in particular, the thing that I think is really unhealthy that we see her do is protest behaviors. There's so many times, but it's the time where he goes out to have one drink with a friend for a friend's birthday. And then she gets a message from someone who was on the show, Mackenzie, who we never saw, but we're now learning of. Anyways, she was on Love is Blind. And Mackenzie apparently sends her this message and says, "Hey, I saw your man out. What are you doing? Why are you not out with him?" And Chelsea feels very triggered. And then she creates this narrative in her mind that Jimmy is with Jess somehow, the girl that he didn't choose. And when Jimmy gets home, we see Chelsea completely spiral, and she's in this place where she's not even in reality. She's completely emotionally dysregulated. She had been drinking, by the way. And she starts saying, "I don't want to be with someone whose lifestyle is partying and going out." So she's going to this is the protest behavior of, "I don't want to be with you," right? Like saying things like that, saying that she doesn't feel loved. She's going to these extremes. And what she wants, the anxiously attached person, what they want is they want their partner to say, "Oh, I love you so much. I'm so sorry. You know, you're my everything. What can I do to make it up for you?" But what they get instead, because it's protest behavior, it's passive aggressive, manipulative, right? What they get instead is their partner does the exact thing that the anxiously attached person is most afraid of. Their partner pulls away. That's exactly what we see from Jimmy. He goes, "I don't know if I can do this anymore. You know, wow." He feels so heartbroken that Chelsea doesn't feel loved. So then he says he's done. And this is exactly how an argument would play out with a insecure attachment dynamic. It would play out exactly this way, where it escalates to the point where you have people pulling away and you have the relationship in question. You don't know if it's going to work out or not. And it is this emotional roller coaster that I'm so glad that I'm no longer on. Thank you, Lord. And then I also found it hilarious that they go and ride a roller coaster later, because in my head, I was thinking to myself, wow, this is a metaphor for what their relationship feels like emotionally. It is a freaking roller coaster that they are on, because they have not created secure attachment at all. And a huge part of it is Chelsea and her anxious attachment, but there's also some of Jimmy there. There's also some, a little bit of avoidant attachment from Jimmy. So we shall see for the finale. Do they figure it out? Do they create enough secure attachment to say yes at the altar? It's kind of wild. I don't know. It could depend on how it goes up leading to the wedding. If Chelsea is dysregulated enough and she's in her anxious attachment place, if she is there, she's not going to say yes. And if Jimmy is triggered enough to where he is getting that message that you're not a good partner, you're not giving me what I need, which reinforces what avoidantly attached people believe about themselves. If he is there, he's not going to say yes. However, if it's smooth sailing up into the wedding, they're really hopefully staying away from alcohol and they're communicating well and there's a lot of support from family, I could see them saying yes. Will they make it if they say yes? It all depends. Are they willing to create secure attachment? Is Chelsea willing to face herself in the mirror and realize that she cannot base her self-worth on a relationship? That she can no longer outsource her emotional regulation to her partner if she ever wants a healthy relationship? These are the questions that keep me awake at night, y'all. We are going to have to wait to find out. I'm so excited to watch the finale. And then we will be doing a part three. We're going to unpack everything. And in the meantime, once again, send me your thoughts, your questions, your comments, DM me on Instagram at Dr. Morgan Coaching. I would love to hear from you. All right, y'all. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And of course, as always, I'm wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate each and every one of you. The best way you can thank me is by sharing this episode on Instagram or Facebook. Make sure you tag me. It would mean the world to me if you took just a moment to leave me a written review on Apple Podcasts. This podcast is not free to produce, and the more that you help this show grow, the more people will be able to help. Until next time, I'm wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. Thank you for being part of this community.